trust, belief, and accountability.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano.
Our team will be built around a humble, unselfish attitude of sacrifice.
Brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
And we welcome you in on a Monday night as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come off an impressive 38-10 win over the Kansas City Chiefs as the Bucs come off of the bye week and put together an impressive showing, a 28-point victory. And there is much, obviously, to discuss about how they were able to do what they did with the head coach. But speaking of how they did what they did, let's relive some of the better moments from Sunday's game. A first half that began for the Buccaneers with a block punt. They weren't able to convert the Rondé Barber block punt into points, but later on in the first quarter, there was a big play from, once again, Josh Freeman and Mike Williams.
30 seconds left. Here's the first snap. Freeman goes deep downfield for Williams. It is bad. It's caught by Mike Williams to the 20, 15, 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Remarkable catch. What a catch by Williams. Took it away from a defender. Fire them cannons. That's the play of the day.
Well, yeah, it was early on, but it was a huge play. 62-yard catch and run from Mike Williams, out fighting a defender, breaking a tackle around the 10-yard line, gets in the end zone, gets the Bucs on the board with a 7-0 lead. Now, later in the first half, the Chiefs would get a field goal. The Buccaneers would actually get into field goal range, but unfortunately, Connor Barth's 56-yard attempt was no good off the upright. That snapped his streak of 25 consecutive makes. So the game would be 7-3 going into the locker room. And then the second half would belong to the guys in pewter as the Buccaneers come out of the locker room and march right down the field. Four quick plays in 80 yards and just 2 minutes of clock time. It would culminate right here.
Around the globe, first down 10, Bucs at the 19. Freeman out of the shotgun, looking in zone, it's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Vincent Jackson! Great throw by Josh Freeman!
The tremendous throw there to Vincent Jackson of 19 yards would make the game 14-3. Again, the Buccaneers very impressive coming out of the locker room and able to get that job done. Then things would take an interesting turn. A turnover would really give the Buccaneers a lot of momentum in this third quarter of play, with the Chiefs marching. Again, backup quarterback Brady Quinn playing. They would move themselves into scoring position. And then Quinn would fire a pass that would be deflected. And guess who was there to not only come up with the ball, but run the other way?
Biggers picks up dangerous Dwayne Bowe wide to the left. Here is the snap. They're looking his way. The ball is it caught or knocked away? It's picked off, intercepted. Rondé Barber down the sideline to the 50, to the 40. Rondé Barber could take it all the way. He is at the 10, 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay, Rondé Barber.
Yeah, Mean Gene Deckerhoff with the call there. He's gotten to say touchdown Rondé Barber a whole bunch. And to appreciate how good this play was, that ball was only about 6 inches off the ground really the entire time. E.J. Bicker sticking a hand in. The ball kind of deflects off of Dwayne Bowe a little bit. It's kind of resting briefly on Biggers' arm, and then again, it's no more than 6 inches or so off the ground when Rondé Barber, standing there, scoops it in midair and takes off the other way. The play was reviewed, and the replays confirmed that it was a legal catch and run, and Barber goes the other way 78 yards for his 14th return touchdown. Various returns, whether it's interceptions, fumbles, block kicks, whatever the case is, 14 return touchdowns now for number 20 Rondé Barber in his career. Big moment in the game, too, because now it opened things up at 21-3. Now, the Chiefs would actually get a block punt on a wild play, end up having an interception return on that block punt. Two wild and weird things that happened there in the end zone. So the game is 21-10. The Buccaneers would make a move back down the field and get a field goal to lead 24-10. And then finally, in the fourth quarter, things really opened up. Once again, Josh Freeman looking for Vincent Jackson here and more points.
First down, 10, Bucs moving right at the Kansas City 17. LeGarrette Blount in the backfield. Freeman's going to throw. It's caught. Vincent Jackson to the one. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. He kept his balance at the 5 when he made the catch by a defender, put his hand on the ground, and stood up and touched the goal line. Vincent Jackson has his second touchdown of the game. It's a 17-yard strike from Josh Freeman. And Freeman's got a three-touchdown day.
He did indeed throw three touchdowns on the day. Vincent Jackson, 66 yards on four receptions, including the two touchdowns. And I can honestly say one of the most creative celebrations we've seen in a long time on his first touchdown. I forgot to mention this before. When he caught his first touchdown in the third quarter, he went over and posed in front of his foundation, Jackson in Action, down in the north end zone. So a clever way to get the extra promotion, another touchdown. That made the game 31-10. And then it was LeGarrette Blount time for a lot of the final drive in the fourth quarter, including it culminating here with under 2 minutes to play.
Bucks will run the ball. LeGarrette Blount over the top. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Wow. Fire the cannons. LeGarrette Blount finds the promised land for the second time this year.
LeGarrette Blount only carried the ball seven times, a lot of that in the second half. 58 yards, though, including a 35-yard run preceding the touchdown. That touchdown run there, two straight games with a touchdown for number 27. And the Buccaneers clinch a 38-10 victory on Sunday. A couple of superlatives for this Buccaneer team. Josh Freeman throws for 328 yards on just 15 completions. So obviously the quick math tells you that that is more than 20 yards per completion on the day. He had a 124 quarterback rating with those three touchdowns in that 300-yard game. Mike Williams over 100 yards for the second consecutive game as he comes up with 113 yards on the four catches for him. And the Buccaneer rushing attack would finish with 145 yards on the ground, 76 of those for Doug Martin. We did not feature him actually here in the highlights, but he had 76 yards, averaging almost 6 yards a carry. Martin also contributing another two catches for 55 yards, including a 42-yard catch and run. The young man out of Boise State really doing an outstanding job of showing one of the key reasons why the Buccaneers wanted this guy: versatility, the ability not only to run, catch the ball, be able to block, et cetera, and all of those came into play there for Doug Martin on this Sunday, a victorious Sunday over the Kansas City Chiefs. So again, you look at the Buccaneer totals and the fact that they had over 450 yards of offense in this game. A lot went right, and a 28-point victory over the Kansas City Chiefs, where again the Chiefs did not have an offensive touchdown in the game. The one touchdown came on the special teams play. Other than that, a pretty complete and impressive performance, obviously, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And with all of that said, we say hello and good evening to the happy head coach. Good to talk to you, sir, and congratulations on a victory.
Thanks, TJ. How you doing?
Well, we are doing well, and you have now, as I like to say, had a while to look at this game, game tape-wise, and digest it. So tell me what you saw on the game tape, what you liked and what stood out here.
Well, you know, I think we played sound defense. The guys did their job over and over again, and that's consistency is really the key. You know, you need to be able to do it 65, 70 times, however many times you have to do it. And offense, we were able to connect on some of those shots again, you know, and then get ahead and then be able to run the football and wear them down a little in the heat, which is, it's got to be part of our formula here down in Tampa. And then in the kicking game, you know, we had some good and some not so good. And we need to make sure we clean up some of the errors we made in the kicking game. Otherwise, it'll come back to bite us.
All right, let's pick it up there on that point. Early on in this game, you got a blocked punt. Something that we've seen now a couple of times from this team and a couple of other near misses. Rondé Barber ended up getting his hand on that block punt. Again, analyzing the game tape, what were you able to do well there? Did you just catch them? Was it something that you saw that you could catch them with?
No, I think it's our players executing, you know, doing what we ask them to do and doing it just like we ask. And, you know, if the guard doesn't wrap around and hold Rondé, he's going to block that for a touchdown. So, we got the holding penalty and he got a piece of it. But like I said, if he doesn't hold him, he's free to the block spot.
And the special teams are obviously such a big part of the game. We were playing the highlight just a second ago that a little later in the first quarter, you find Mike Williams on the long touchdown pass. It ends up covering 62 yards on the catch and run. That had to be some fun to look at the tape last night and look at the tape again today. Just let's elaborate on what that play meant at that juncture in the game, getting you on the board.
Well, although it was relatively early in the game, a lot had happened already, right? I mean, there had been a block punt, an interception. You know, we get the ball on the plus side, then we throw an interception, they run it back, they move the ball down into, you know, inside the 25-yard line, and then we intercept. So there's a lot that's gone on at this point, you know, answering the bell, both teams, and to be able to score coming off all that, that was important.
Mike Williams in particular and his ability to go up and get the football and then the run after the catch, how impressed are you now having seen this? You know, you saw it in college, obviously, because he played at Syracuse. You're now seeing it as he plays for you here in the NFL. But how are you? How impressed are you with his ability to consistently go up, get the ball, make plays like that, Coach?
Very impressed. And you're right, I did. I saw him when he was a kid doing it in college. And I was very impressed then, and I've remained very impressed. You know, Michael has tremendous hand-eye coordination.
And it's good that he's in pewter and red doing it for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We were talking about the field goal at the end of the first half where you elected to kick the long field goal with Connor Barth, who has been so good. Unfortunately, that one is going to end up ending the streak there from 56 or 57 yards, whatever it was. But you have said to us in the past that is somebody that you rely on, and at that moment, just take me through your strategy there, because you were looking for the long field goal and three more points just before the half.
No strategy. You just said it. Yeah, let's get the points. And Connor, he's been hitting the ball so well, and that one he hit well. He just kind of brought it a little left. I mean, that hit relatively high up on the upright from a long-distance field goal. So, but you know what? We started a new streak, so here we go.
Yeah, he did get one a little later on in the first half. How much was the wind? I know the wind was part of it at the beginning of the game, but how much was the wind playing into your thought process as you were going along on punts, on place kicks, and things like that on Sunday?
Somewhat. Yeah, there was some times. You know, it was a gusting wind, so it wasn't a consistent wind. So you kind of had to pay attention to it because it wasn't the same throughout the game. I'm sure the wind had an effect on that ball too. You know, but hey, we're both playing in it. You just have to know how to, you know, work through it.
All right, we are going to come back. We're going to talk about the second half. We're obviously going to talk about the New Orleans Saints as well. Stand by for that. We've got plenty to discuss here with the head coach, and we will have more on Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano, including your phone calls. It's brought to you tonight by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back on this Monday night with the head coach, Greg Schiano. It is Buccaneers Total Access. And again, we will take your phone calls coming up. You can join us in Hillsboro at 813-990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number. New Orleans Saints are also the upcoming opponent. We'll talk about them a little bit more in the show. But, Coach, as we get back into the win over the Kansas City Chiefs, we left off there at halftime. I know we talked to you going into the locker room, and you said to us at that time, hey, on defense, you were happy with how things had gone. You were anxious to get the ball and start the second half. You get the ball, start the second half, four plays, 80 yards. You're in the end zone. Again, you've now had time to go over that. How impressed are you that you come out of the locker room and execute that way?
Well, I thought it was a heck of a drive. You know, and we talked about getting out of there and starting fast. And really, you know, I think it boils down to that play to Doug Martin. When Doug catches that ball in the flat, and I don't know, what, 7-8 yards down the field, and he's one-on-one with a guy out there in the flat. He makes a miss and goes, heck, for another 35, 40 yards. So huge play, gets us down in the red, and then a great catch by Vince, throwing catch by Josh and Vince.
Back to Doug Martin, if you watched games at Boise State, tape of him at Boise State, you see him make these kind of plays after contact in the open field where he turns what seems like a small gain into a large gain. You've coached again for a long time. Some guys just have a knack or an ability to be able to do that. What do you see out of Doug Martin, though, that enables him to turn what seems like it's going to be a small gain into a bigger play like that?
Well, he's a great athlete. You know, he's not just a football player. He has great body control. Some of the things he's done already as a Buck, you know, some of the somersault runs where he ends up on his feet. You know, the average guy can't do that. You know, even the average professional athlete can't do that. So he's impressive, and he's only going to get better.
All right, so again, that catch and run covers 42 yards, and it was the very next play that, for the second time on the drive, Josh Freeman finds Vincent Jackson for the 19-yard touchdown, culminating the drive on the pass there over the middle. He's become kind of a favorite target in the red zone for the good of Josh. Let's just talk about that play a little bit more. What did you see on that play? What did you like on that play to Vincent Jackson for the touchdown?
It was a great read by Josh and a great throw. And then, you know, with Vince just goes and rips it right out of the air. And that's why he is a favorite target down there in the red area, because he's a big guy who will go up and get the ball for you.
I love, I was saying this just a little while ago here at the beginning of the show, I love the extra added stuff you get in the NFL where he catches the touchdown and during the celebration has the presence of mind. I don't know if you saw this or saw the picture of it, but I was down there live as well, and he runs over to the area where his foundation is, where it says Jackson in action, and does a pose right in front of it. It's kind of, you know, a fun thing for the National Football League to see some of that. A lot of fans might think that those things are scripted, but a lot of times it's just spontaneous, where a player's having a good time after a catch, right, and wanting to celebrate.
As long as he's celebrating with his teammates, he can do it in front of that sign or any sign. I like him to celebrate with each other because it's not one guy who did it, right? A guy threw it, a guy caught it, and a bunch of other guys ran their routes and pass protected. But what you saw was a celebration in front of the Jackson in Action Foundation sign, and that's great.
Yeah, and he got that 7 points, and you got up 14-3. Now, the Chiefs were able to drive the ball on the next drive. They move kind of into scoring position, and then comes a turnaround play, a game-changing play by your defense. A pass from Brady Quinn looking for Dexter McCluster it's deflected. It's kind of dangling in the air, only about 6 inches off the ground, as I've said, and Rondé Barber is there to grab it and go the other way. Again, now with the luxury of watching it on game film, how good is that play? Because it's not just a pick, it's a pick six, as it turns out, Coach.
It's a great play. It was started by E.J. Biggers. E.J. gets the ball and tips it out of there. And then Rondé, who's just got, you know, you talk about people who have a knack. He's got a knack in the right place, plays hard every play, going to the ball, and he's able to get the tip just inches before it touches the ground, and then he runs it back for a mere 78 yards. Yeah. So nice touchdown, and, you know, it's great when you can go ahead with that defensive score, and it's 21-3.
How impressed were you? Because there was a lot of hustle from your defensive guys as well to go down the field and get a couple of blocks. There were a couple of Chiefs that maybe had a chance, and I know, again, watching the up-high all-22 camera, there were some guys hustling down to make sure that he not only put you in great field position, but he gets in the end zone on that one.
Well, we spent a lot of time practicing on just that, being swarming the football, whether we are trying to stop someone or whether we get a takeaway, because that's who we are. And if you said, well, you know, one thing on defense, what do? We swarm the ball.
Yeah, you did on that. So at that point, the game is 21-3, and they're not able to get a whole lot going for the rest of the third quarter. Finally, in the fourth quarter, you get the ball, and you immediately march with the help of a couple of things. They are able to get a touchdown. Let's talk about this particular play at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They get the block punt. Kind of a crazy play ensues where Michael Kanan is trying to pick it up and eventually throws it. It gets intercepted for a touchdown. So, again, on that special teams play, what happened there? And obviously the Chiefs deserve some credit for what they were able to do too, Coach.
Well, they did. It was a one-on-one, and they beat us and were able to block the punt. And then, you know, we kind of added to the – Mike did a heck of a job hustling to get on that ball. You know, probably want to just either throw – kick that thing out the back or land on it. I told Mike, I said there was a guy in the early 70s who did that in a Super Bowl, similar play. I said, I'll talk to you later about it. You weren't born yet. So, you know, one of those deals, you know, you wish you could have it back. But I think the good thing is we can put it in our memory bank and make sure nothing like that happens again.
And you know that guy's name is Garo Yepremian, because I know you know football. And did you know that Garo Yepremian once kicked for the Buccaneers after the Miami? How about that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, see, we once kicked for the Bucs. I believe in the expansion 76 season, he came to the Bucs after that play. The interesting thing is right after that play happens, you go on a touchdown drive. Did you say anything special at that point on the sideline to the offense or anything about refocus or any of that with the game 21-10 at that point, Coach?
These guys, you know, believe me, they were focused. They didn't have to refocus. They knew what they know what's at stake, and they know the National Football League, and it turns on a dime. And you know, I was really happy the way that Josh and the entire offense just had a calm demeanor about him. Let's go out and do our job. And that's exactly what they did.
The pass, catch, and run by Tyquan Underwood on a deep ball. It was a third down play. He actually looks like during part of it from the one replay that I saw that he was trying to outfight the defender and the ball's up in the air. He not only catches the ball, but then he turns it into a catch and run situation. Again, just tell me what you saw out of that play.
It was great focus, great concentration by Ty. And, you know, I give credit to Josh. He's given his receivers a chance to make plays. You know, sometimes quarterbacks get worried. You got to trust your guys. You work with them, trust your training, and let it rip. And gave Ty a chance, and Ty proved him right.
Yeah, 62-yard play on that one, one of numerous big plays on the day. It ends up being a field goal drive, and as you said, start a new streak with Connor Barth as he kicks the 27-yard field goal. You force them three and out, and then you get the ball back and again start making plays. Vincent Jackson catches one for 15. Doug Martin runs for 13, and eventually a 17-yard touchdown culminates that drive to Vincent Jackson. Again, break down that drive for us. What did you like out of that drive, which basically is going to put the game away at that point?
Well, you know, you mentioned it. We stopped them in a three and out, and Daniel Tanasheem gets a great hit on their quarterback, knocks the ball loose. I guess they called it a forward pass. And so now we get the ball back. And here's where you got to be able to do it, right? There's 9:29 left in the game. You're winning. You got a 14-point lead. And here's an opportunity to go, you know, end this football game with a good drive. And that's just what the guys did.
Vincent Jackson again catching his second touchdown pass of the day to make it 31-10. You eventually get one more in the final 4 minutes where LeGarrette Blount carries once for 35 yards, carries again for four, then eventually carries for 12. As you alluded to a little earlier, that's a position you want to be in, right, where you put big number 27 in the game with the lead in the fourth quarter. That's kind of ideal, the way that you're looking for it if you lay it out.
Well, I think that's excellent if you can get in that position. You know, what we try to do is get LeGarrette in there well before then, you know, and to rest Doug, and then in certain situations, and then hopefully you get the lead. And, you know, when you have the lead and time is on your side, and then here comes this 245, 250-pound back screaming at you who's fresh, you know, that's not fun on defense.
No doubt. Hey, let's, while we have a moment, talk a little bit more about LeGarrette, because he is he's a guy that has battled to be in that number one position. You said at the beginning of this season that, hey, Doug Martin is the starter for the beginning of the season, but we're going to use both of them. And LeGarrette now gets an opportunity to show what he can do, not only in the Redskin game there in the second half on the goal line, but in this game. Just say something about what that means to want contributions out of all your guys, be ready when it's your opportunity. That's what this league is about, right?
Well, I'll tell you, I think LeGarrette's shown great maturity in the way he's handled the whole situation. Certainly, he has one of two ways you can take it. You can be frustrated and act out, or you can just keep working and be part of the solution, and that's exactly what he's been. And he's done some really good things, and I look forward to it the rest of the year.
You know, and you had a couple of other guys. I mean, Jamon Meredith is another guy that has not been starting, but he gets the opportunity to start on the offensive line. It's along those same lines. Is it not be ready when it's your time, be prepared, be professional, and, you know, be ready to go when your number is called, right?
Well, there's no doubt. You know, the old saying, when preparation meets opportunity, that's when guys get lucky. And, you know, you make your own luck by being prepared.
All right, satisfaction from this one. How satisfied are you coming off of a bye week to put together a performance like this that results in a 38-10 win?
Well, I'm really happy. I'm happy for the guys. I'm happy for the organization. You know, we went 1-0 in that Kansas City season, and it was great, and the guys enjoyed it. And then we went and watched the tape today and graded it and got out on the grass for about 15 minutes and just walked through some corrections. And at that point is when you flush it and you move on, and it's now the New Orleans season. Everything we got is going into that game and that season. It's literally a one-game season each week, and you put everything you have into it and then hope it manifests itself out there on Sundays.
Part of what you do is also psychology. From a psychological standpoint, that's got to be a huge lift going into the week of practice and in the week of preparation, does it not, to see a lot of, you know, acting in positive reinforcement of what you've been working on?
Well, without a doubt. I mean, anytime you work as hard as these guys have, you want them to get positive results. I think it does encourage them to keep pushing forward. And, you know, we're just going to try to out-prepare ourselves again this week and go play a very good Saints team.
All right, we will talk more about the Saints coming up here in just a little bit. Again, you can join us on the phones at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. You can also tweet a question if you like. If you don't want to wait on hold or you can't get through, whatever the case is, tweet away to me at Bucks Sideline Guy. We'll pass something along to the coach as well at Bucks next sideline guy, BUC, and we will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach, Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we are back here on this Monday night with the head coach, Greg Schiano, as we continue on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we will talk New Orleans Saints in a little bit, but while we have the opportunity, we will take your phone calls. We'll take your comments here as we go along. If you're on the phones, hang on. If not, you can get on board at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. At this time of the show, I always like to do this for people just joining us, just getting in the car, just getting off from work, whatever the case is. Just an overall thought on a 38-10 win over the Kansas City Chiefs, if you would.
Well, I'm really pleased with the way the guys persevered throughout the game. You know, it's 7-3 at half, and it's anybody's ball game, and they just kept playing and doing their job one play at a time. And when we do that and 11 pieces fit together, we got a chance to be pretty good.
All right, we will go to the phones. We begin with Scott in Brandon. You are up first here on the Buccaneers Radio Network with the coach. Hey, Scott.
First of all, Coach, congratulations, and keep on doing what you and your staff are doing, because I think there's been a dramatic change in the attitude of this team. I want to specifically comment on Levante David and Mark Barron. I'm amazed at the impact that these young men, two rookies, five games under their belt, have had on this defense. We all felt going into the season the defense was going to be the Achilles heel of this team. Yet, from what we've seen in the first five games, other than the second half of the Giants game, the defense has been stellar, led by these two rookies, and I'm excited with the future holds. And I'd like for you just to comment on these guys and what you see, because what I see, both of them are making a big impact. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Scott. I think you're exactly dead on. Levante and Mark are two really fine football players, and we're very fortunate to have them here in the Bucs organization. And the best part of it is they're only going to get better. I mean, you can see it each week. They're getting more and more comfortable with the scheme, and they're playing just a little bit faster and understanding things just a little bit sooner. So the best is yet to come with these two guys, but we're blessed to have them.
Scott, thanks for the phone call. We didn't get a chance to go over the specific Mark Barron interception in the first half, but again, now having watched it on game tape, it's a great hustle play there by, I believe, Mason Foster and Quincy Black are helping break up the pass, and Mark Barron ends up getting an interception, and Kansas City didn't get any points out of the drive. What did you – tell me again what your thoughts were on that play, on that pick.
Well, I think it's a big interception. You know, again, we block the punt, then we throw the interception. They drive down. There's a lot happening early in this football game. And like you said, you know, Quincy broke from the outside and Mason from the inside, and they kind of sandwiched the tight end there and knocked the ball loose. And then Mark kind of created a triangle on the thing and picked it off. And very athletic. You know, he had to spin and caught it on the spin. It was a heck of a play.
Do you guys practice a lot on the trip, on the tip drill, or I guess I should say, how much do you practice on tip drills, balls like that one that Mark Barron got?
Well, we do a lot of takeaway type circuit work, and there's always things you're doing with the football, catching it and tipping it and all those things. But to be frank with you, those are athletic moves. You know, those guys have the athletic ability to do that, and, you know, Mark is certainly a special athlete.
Back to the phones. Don is in Lando Lakes here with us on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, Don. How are you?
I'm feeling freaking fantastic after yesterday, man. Good game, man. Congratulations. Just a couple of things that I noticed. Kind of wanted to get your opinion on it. I noticed the guys running off and on the field as a unit. They seem to be more in tune with each other. Is that something that you've implemented, or is that something that the team has just said, hey, we're one team, we're one player, let's go together?
Don, are you talking about when we get introduced, or are you talking about each series?
Each series. You know, when the offense was running off the field, it seemed like they run off together, and whenever they was going back on the field, they would go on together. It just seemed like everybody was moving as a unit instead of 11 individuals.
Well, I agree with you, Don, and that's something that we believe in that, you know, when you're on the football field, you don't walk around. You move together and you move, you know, it doesn't need to be a dead sprint. We don't want to leave all our energy between the sideline and the huddle, but we want to keep moving. It's an up-tempo game, and we want to play it that way.
Well, it seems like that they've bit into that because I did notice that quite a bit, that they moved as a unit. One question I would have to ask, on the punt that they had that got downed inside the one, it looked to me on the big screen like the guy's foot was on the line. Did you think about throwing the red flag, or you're like, just, you know, my guys can drive it out, let's just go?
Yeah, I did think about it, but it couldn't do it. You can't do it then because it's inside of in 2 minutes, you know. So if I did it, I would have had a 15-yard penalty, and I would have got booed out of the stadium.
I got you. Well, I appreciate it, Coach, man, and good work so far. And just keep it up, man. You're doing good things there.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you, Don.
Have a good day now.
Thank you, Don. All right, and we should clarify that it is different in college, obviously, the environment you come out of, than the NFL. There are certain times you can challenge, but inside the 2 minutes, as you just made mention of, you cannot challenge. You're at the mercy of whether or not the replay official up high wants the official down low to look at the play, and you're not allowed to do anything about that except maybe lobby, hey, can we look at it? You can't throw the red flag is my point. We should clarify that part of it, right?
Yeah, and unless I have a headset to the guy up in the booth, I can't do much lobbying even,
right.
You know. So we're up to his decision-making, and I think they do a good job. I mean, if it's close, they usually do it. You know, I'm not going to get myself in trouble here on that one. We won 38-10. I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, on the calls. Again, you can join us on the phones, and we appreciate your opportunity to give us a call here at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. We go to Tommy, who is next, who is in New Jersey, I believe. And, Tommy, what's on your mind? Hello. Say hey to the coach.
Hey, Coach. How you doing? My name's Tommy. Originally Brooklyn guy. I'm living down Jersey Shore, Point Pleasant now. And I'm actually visiting my buddy, Scotty, from Stuart, Florida. He's a season ticket holder, a few years, and I jumped on this year. So we got a couple seats up in the back of the end zone. So it was nice. It was a good win yesterday. And it was nice to see the offense open up with the passing to, you know, wide receivers. So we're upstairs looking down at the whole play and stuff, and it's great to see how everything developed. And it's really cool where the receivers are going after the ball. So keep up the good job, and I'll be down here again to watch the game Sunday, and then we'll fly back. So it's good to be on board. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks, Tommy, and I appreciate that. You know, it's good to hear Point Pleasant, one of my favorite places. I agree with you. You know, we were able to get the ball down the field to our wide receivers. Josh threw balls that gave our receivers a chance to go up and make a play, and we have good receivers, and they really played well.
All right, a question on Twitter from a Buck fan named Scott who says, can you ask the coach, do you plan on using LeGarrette more on the offense? Or I guess you just, you know, without revealing all the secrets, but you had to be happy with what you saw there yesterday. So Scott's curious about LeGarrette Blount.
You know, each game, as we said, is its own season, its own entity, and, you know, we go in with a plan, but we're not married to anything. We're going to kind of see how the game unfolds, and, you know, and certainly you get the lead. Boy, that's a fun thing to do, is to let LeGarrette go pound away. But we have two good backs. We actually have more than two good backs, but we have two that we're playing right now, and then DJ comes in on third down, and I think it's a great mix.
Again, you can join us here on the phones as we go along. Back to the running backs, you know, this is obvious. They're only going to be as good as what the offensive line is going to be able to do. So, again, as that run game unit yesterday, how did it grade out? What were your thoughts on the way the run game worked yesterday?
Well, you know, we did some good things. Again, you watch the tape. We are a block or a step or an angle away from really hitting some long runs, which they're going to come. It's just a matter of time where we're going to, you know, get that last piece of it done and pop it out of there for a long touchdown run. But we're getting better, and that's the key. We just need to keep working at it, you know, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it's getting better, and that's the key.
All right, back to the phones. Kenny has been waiting in Tampa. You are next with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing?
How's it going, Kenny?
It's going great.
Go ahead. You're on, sir.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to I've been to all three of the home games so far this year. And I just wanted to kind of speak on with Josh Freeman, it's like if we're running the ball first and not throwing the ball as much, it seems like he doesn't get into the groove, like a groove. But then when he's given an opportunity to throw the ball a lot more, it seems like he got into a really good groove and he was hitting it on his target. But in the first half, you know, he looks like he was missing a lot of his targets. But once he got warmed up, he seemed to be in the groove.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I, Kenny, I hear what you're saying. As a quarterback, I think I'd like to be able to start throwing it right off the bat and get going. But, you know, I'm not sure because we came out throwing, you know, and I thought it went pretty good. And we've had some games where he's come out throwing, and then we've had some games where we mix it up. I think Josh is a professional quarterback who can really execute the plan, right, no matter what the plan is. I think Josh is comfortable with it, you know, and I think each week he's more and more comfortable with the offense, which is going to allow him to appear more and more comfortable with whatever play we call. But one of the things we do, you know, we don't have scripted plays per se where we're going to go 1 through 12 and just run them. But we do have openers or starters, whatever you want to call them, that you're, you know, he has a real good idea what the first 10 to 15 plays are going to be, and not necessarily the order, but what they're going to be. And I think that's the key, is that you get them going in that flow of running stuff that we've worked on all week and worked on in just, you know, just preceding the game, leading up to the game. And he did a good job.
All right, Kenny, thanks for the phone call. To your point, in the Redskin game, I know it was a couple of weeks ago, he began the game 8 for 9 on the first two or three drives. And I like something that you said earlier in the broadcast, and I think Buck fans get excited too. Let your guys go make a play. Put the ball where they can go make a play. And we saw that time and again. And a lot of times that's important, you know, to give them the opportunity to go do what they do, right?
Well, as long as you have the guys to do it. You know, I've been in situations where you don't, and then you can't throw those balls. Because you know who will make a play? The other guy will make the play. So, you know, we like I said, we're very blessed to have the receiving core we do, and Josh understands that, and he gives them a chance.
We saw him a lot in the spread, whether it was by design or whether it was in the no huddle. You know, so much of college football now, and it's made its way to the NFL, is the shotgun and spread them out. That's football has changed because it used to be I formation with a couple of tight ends. You don't see that as much in college anymore. The game itself is evolving and changing, is it not?
Well, it is. And, you know, there used to be the trickle-down theory. Now there's a lot of the trickle-up theory. You know, the college game is manifesting itself in the National Football League. A lot of it is the way that offenses have changed at that level. And the players that are playing it collegiately, you know, those are the guys we're drafting now at this level. But I like the mix we have where we're still a traditional two-back team. We'll get into two tight ends, one back, and then we'll also get into four wides. And I think to be able to mix it up, I know defensively that's the thing I hate to defend most is when there's all different things you have to defend.
Someone else on Twitter, and again, you can tweet a question real quick to Buck's sideline guy, somebody named JT, unlike TJ, tweets and says, I know each game plan is different with matchups and so forth, but he's curious about involving Dallas Clark some in the game. So what do you have to say on that one?
Well, I'm hoping just like our caller is or texter or whatever you're on there,
mm-hmm.
I want to get Dallas more involved myself. But you know what? When things are there, you take them. And I think what's going to happen here soon is there's going to be a lot more over-the-top coverage, which is what's natural to happen when guys are making plays down the field. That opens up the middle of the defense, and hopefully Dallas and Luke and all the guys can have a bigger impact in the pass game.
Since the game is in the book now, we can talk about it in this respect. Were you trying to maybe get him the ball? I know on the interception, I believe you were trying to get him the ball. Were you trying to get him the ball a couple times and Kansas City just took it away with whatever you were trying to do, or he was one of the options and they did a good job covering him? Do you just tip your hat on some of that?
Well, certainly. You know, exactly right. You know, you could see on the interception that's where we were going with the ball and probably shouldn't have gone there. You know, and you can't force it. When you do, bad things happen. You just got to let it read out and take what they give you. And, you know, when you get one-on-one matchups, that's a little different. You're down the field and the corner's got his back to you. You know, certainly the receiver has an advantage in that situation. And but, you know, it'll come. I'm confident it'll come.
And, you know, one more on Dallas Clark, because hearing your players talk about this, hearing the guys talk about this, I think it's worthwhile. They talk about his approach, his professionalism, what he means in that room, what he means on the sideline on game day. You know, a veteran who's won a Super Bowl. Just, I mean, those things are important to have, even if he's not showing up with catches in the stat sheet, right?
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, and I know he's frustrated. Heck, he's been such a productive player for so long. But, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell it the way he's acting in the sideline and in the practice and in the meeting rooms. Certainly, I'm hoping we can get him the ball and he can feel personal satisfaction as well as team satisfaction. But he knows that how much he means to this team and how he's playing a big part. And it'll happen. It always does. It goes in cycles.
Again, a couple more moments left here for phone calls, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. As we take a couple more calls here in this segment and then get ready to talk about the New Orleans Saints. Hey, the ability to finish off drives with touchdowns. We were talking about this earlier in the season. Not settling for 3 points. You got in the red zone on two or three occasions there yesterday and went ahead and finished off with seven. Again, reinforce here how important it is. Instead of getting three, you're getting seven. And at the end of the game, it's not 23-10. It's now 38-10 or something like that because you're putting 7 points on the board.
Well, you're absolutely right, TJ. And what it does is it changes the complexion of the game, how the rest of the game is played out. You know, when you're in a one- or two-score game, the whole gamut of the opponent's offense is still up, running, passing, screens, draws. When you go up by two or more scores and the game starts to come to a close, you know you've made them one-dimensional, and then it's a different game once either side becomes one-dimensional.
The importance of being able to capitalize in the red zone, and again, as I was mentioning earlier, Vincent Jackson appears to be a favorite target. How much during the week do you practice the red zone in particular, where you put the ball on the 20 or maybe put the ball on the 15 and work on the field being shrunk down a little bit and trying to get 7 points?
Really every day but Wednesday. Yeah, we're going to work on it every day and just, you know, it doesn't have to be a lot, but it's something cumulative repetitions over time. That, you know, I think the comfort level there, because what happens in the red zone, you got to remember from the 17-yard line in, the field is twice as wide as it is long. So everything changes. Things happen more quickly. Things go horizontally instead of vertically. And when they do go vertically, there's tight windows because people change their coverages. So it is a different game within the game once you get down inside that 17-yard line.
One more thing here before the timeout and putting the Kansas City game to bed. We haven't talked enough about your secondary. We talked about Ronda. E.J. Bigger stepped in and started. Eric Wright did a great job for a lot of the game on Dwayne Bowe. Just assess how your secondary played it and your thoughts on them.
Well, I thought it was a big step for the secondary. You know, we have been giving up our Achilles heel has been first and second down passing. We've given up too many plus 20-yard plays. And I don't think we gave up one. We may have given up one, but I know we didn't give up any plus 25-yard passes on any down or distance. And that's very big for us. That's a step in the right direction. We're moving up a little bit here with Drew Brees coming into town, and that's going to amp up the challenge a little bit as far as experienced passers and successful guys that have done it. But you got to. What's the saying? You got to crawl before you walk, and we're getting better. That's what I like to see.
All right. The coach with a perfect segue to talk about the New Orleans Saints. We'll do that after the timeout here. We'll have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we're back on this Monday night. We appreciate all of you joining us, all of you calling in and getting on board here with the coach. Buccaneers will now play the New Orleans Saints for the first of two meetings. That is coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. And all right, so we know a lot about what Drew Brees has done, what he can do. Let's get into the Saints a little bit and what you see on the tape out of them, especially the 2012 version of the Saints. What stands out right now, coach?
Well, you know, they're a good football team, and they're a veteran football team, and just, lost a couple close games, but it's a matter of time till they start going their way because they're too good for that not to be the case. It's just can't be this weekend, right? We got to let them get on track after. They won their last game, and then they had a bye week, but it's a very good football team and a well-coached football team, and one that we're going to bust our tails to prepare for and go play a great game Sunday.
When you look at their offense, just in general terms, give me a threat or a problem or two that they pose to any defense, not just your defense.
That's, you can't do that because there's too many. I mean, they are really talented, whether it's, you know, their tight end or their running back, and everybody knows Drew Brees, right? So, I mean, he's the middle of that thing that makes it roll, and they're very, very good. I mean, they're an explosive offense. They know what they want to do with the football. We're going to be in a situation where we have to play our best defense to have an opportunity to win.
In the past, whatever the past is worth, and I think this is the same with any team that is playing them in the present, if you are able to get pressure on him, move him off the spot, knock him down, sack him, that's obviously going to change the dynamic. And it doesn't matter who you are, it seems like, this is me talking, if he has time to throw and he has time to look over the defense, it's trouble for whoever they're playing. So is it fair to say pressuring him, knocking him down, disrupting him will be one of the keys?
It is fair to say, but I haven't met a quarterback yet that's, you know, likes to be pressured, hit, and moved out of the pocket. So, but the thing that worries you with Drew is he's so good. You know, he's not looking to scramble. I mean, he can if he needs to, but he's looking to extend the play and move in the pocket. And if he has to stretch the pocket, but throw it downfield to his receiver. You know, they have some good receiving threats down there, and he's going to find the guy. He's an experienced quarterback that plays the game with poise and finds their open receiver.
Speaking of the receivers, Colston is obviously a big target, big literally and physical. Jimmy Graham is also a big target. Just talk about that specific part of what they try to do with those guys going down the middle of the field as big targets, Coach.
Well, you're right. You know, and Jimmy Graham is a special athlete. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he is a mismatch, and it's going to be interesting to see some of the matchups that we can create on him when they throw the football. And Colston, like you said, has done it over time, and you know, you hear me talk about consistency all the time, so it leads me to their quarterback, who is, you know, Mr. Consistency. We need to make sure that we play sound defense and make him beat us. We can't beat ourselves.
All right, a couple more real quick on this. I think it goes without saying, too, that time of possession becomes important in a game like this. If you can control the clock, if you can keep them off the field, would that be fair to say that that's another key on Sunday?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, again, time of possession is good, but you need to score points. You know, we're going to need to score some points here. And, you know, I think what you don't want to do is alter the plan too much and you throw your own offense out of whack. I mean, you got to be able to play good offense and then go play good defense and be sound in the kicking game. And that's where we're going to need to lay our plan, and exactly how we do that, you know, I won't go into, but that's not an oversimplification, because to be able to do, you have to have a productive offense against these guys, because they're going to score some points.
And the fact that you played a division game and now you have played four games out of the division, but you come back and play another division game, they take on extra significance because there's only six of them and there are only three of them at home. So I know they're all significant, but this is a division game at home that I know you want to get this one because you got a home game with the Saints.
Well, I want to get them all. Mm-hmm. Okay, so home game, Saints, any game, but I understand where you're going with the question. Certainly is a big game, and it's one of our six division games, and like you said, it's home. And anytime we can be in front of our fans, you know, I think that's an advantage. And playing in our stadium and all the things that go with it, the beautiful heat, sunshine, humidity, that's a positive. Now, these guys are coming from a humid place as well, so I don't know how much, but they don't get that sun in the dome, do they?
No, they do not. All right, we will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano, brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And that will do it here on this edition of Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach. We'll be back next Monday night at this time, and we look forward to talking about Bucs and Saints. That one at Raymond James Stadium will be on the air at noon with a 1 o'clock kick time, as it's the first of two meetings with the Saints and the Buccaneers looking to get even at 3-3 on the season. So we're anxious for all of that to take place on Sunday. And again, we're back with another Monday night edition of the Head Coach Greg Schiano Buccaneers Total Access Program. My thanks to Eric Sachs for helping out back at the station. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. I'm TJ Reeves. Thanks for being with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.